Addie asked me if I was going to be teaching today with the kids, and I said, no, sorry, I have to teach out here. She looked at me and kind of smiled. And then Addie said this thing, it was kind of neat, if you guys are, good morning, everybody. Good. I got you hooked. She looked at me and she was looking at her mom singing and she says, my mommy loves Jesus. And then she looked at her dad and said, that's my dad. I said, no, that's my son. And she's like, look at me. And she said, that's funny, Papa. What a treat. What a blessing. Oh, good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I believe we're in alignment with Joey's prayer. The Holy Spirit would speak to us and through us. In fact, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. I feel really compelled to, yeah, you know, and if the Bible speaks a whole lot about God, the Holy Spirit. And then at the same time, there's a whole lot about God, the Holy Spirit that the Bible doesn't speak of, that we are left to just listening to God, the Holy Spirit. And I like that. I like that a lot. The thing I've discovered, if you guys haven't discovered this, whenever we're led and by the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit, and we're really frustrating to those that don't. Have you discovered that? I have. It's in fact, so much so that we become even annoying to those that don't walk by the Spirit, those that aren't walking in the Spirit, those who are walking in our flesh, especially myself. I get irritated and frustrated with myself when I'm not walking in the Spirit. So why don't I more often? What hinders me? What's the role of the Holy Spirit? What's His purpose? What's He about? Let's talk about it for a little while, if you guys like to. You guys good with me this morning? Okay, I know it's Sunday morning. We've worshiped the Lord, and this the Holy Spirit, if you didn't sense His presence here, then just do something really quick and put your finger right there on your wrist to see if that heart is still beating, because the Holy Spirit is moving, and if your heart's beating, you more than likely sensed Him. You might have gotten a little irritated at what He was doing. You might have really just sensed this overwhelming peace and draw to God the Father, to where you just felt like, wow, this feels good this morning. Did you feel good this morning? I felt good this morning. The Lord really sent, He's shown up, and He is here, and He is here. Amen? Amen. Amen. I've come to this conclusion, and I it's not just by experience, but through Scripture and experience, I believe that, even watching, that any attempt that we make, any attempt that I make, that any of us make to connect with God, to get right with God, to get in alignment with God on our own without the Holy Spirit, is an absolute 100% miss. It's not even though we come close, because I know, and that's where we got to like understand this, and I believe that almost a delusion, if you will cause us to think that we can, in any way, shape, or form, on our own, get right, get close to God on our own. I've come to the conclusion that every time I try, it's an absolute miss. I mean, I'm not even close. I'm not even close. Anybody else have that experience? So the Holy Spirit's work and the Holy Spirit's compelling and the Holy Spirit's purpose is so easy to, I think it's, maybe easy is not the right word, simple to really conclude that his ultimate purpose and goal is to just bring us to the Father through the Son, Jesus, the Christ. So the Holy Spirit's role is to simply direct us to Jesus. So any way, shape, or form that I try to make an attempt to get right with God, close to God, around Jesus, on my own, without the Holy Spirit, maybe even when I say around Jesus, I'm like, if I try to get God, to God and go around Jesus to where I don't go through Jesus, is a miss. Just a miss. It's not even like it's close. It's an absolute 100% miss. Scripture points that out clearly. Experience in life shows us that plainly, right? So I know last week I spoke on the, you know, this 1 Corinthians 13 is like such an inspiring, convicting, compelling passage of Scripture. But I don't know if we realize this, but 13 is a number that we've placed in that in our Bible that we have today that is a number that is sandwiched between two other numbers, right? Okay, I know it's math, guys. There's two other numbers that surround 13. What are they? 12 and 14. Whew, that was a really good, you guys are on your toes this morning. Good. Did you start counting? Yeah. Oh man, what do I do now? And what I've come to see and realize is this 1 Corinthians 13 is sandwiched in between 12 and 14, but the whole context of 12 and 14 is all about the Holy Spirit. All about the Holy Spirit. So we can't just like just boop, let's plop 13 out of there and say it's all about love and not really put it right in the middle of what the context is about leading, following the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 actually starts out by saying, says, now concerning spiritual gifts, verses 1 through 3, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Another word that you might not like to hear is ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed, unlearned, untaught, ignorant about the Holy Spirit. You know that when you were pagans, unbelievers, that you were led astray to mute idols, dead, deaf, dumb idols. In other words, has no power, no influence, no. What is a mute idol? It has no voice. It has no voice. Hello? So that's what we were led by, is voiceless idols. Right? Okay, you guys with me? We're going through this. So now this is going to be fun, and this is going to be an interesting morning as we talk about the Holy Spirit. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will show up. I don't really ever like to talk about the Holy Spirit without the Holy Spirit. This is a good idea not to talk about the Holy Spirit without the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Come on. Yeah, there we go. It says, therefore, I want you to, you were led astray by mute idols, however you were led. In other words, it's like, I don't know how that even worked because there was no leading. You're just really following after something or something that was out there that you thought was leading you in a direction. Any testimonies of that? Before Jesus, what did I go after? I don't know. I thought I was going after something that I thought might have been at some point maybe an answer or something good, but I didn't even know, I wasn't chasing after really anything good at all. I had no inclination to go after anything good other than what was good for me. So basically, it was myself. I was going after just my own pleasure and my own glory. I didn't even know it and realize it. Chase, basically chasing after nothing, the wind. That's what I was as an unbeliever before I came to Christ, before the Holy Spirit showed me a purpose and I have an identity. Oh my goodness, hold on a second. I love it when the Holy Spirit does this. I just step away from that. The Holy Spirit wants you to know this. Okay. He wants you to know that He had His eye on you before you ever had an inclination to have an eye on Him. Not only had, but He still has His eye on you even when you have no inclination to put your focus on Him. You need to know that. You need to hear that. We've heard that confirmation in loving and reaching out and listening to the Holy Spirit in the young men that God has put into our lives, in all of our lives, not just Robin and I, but He's put these young men into our lives to love on and to share the love of Jesus with. Amen. And the Lord showed us that years ago, before they even were in existence in this fellowship, before they might have even not even been in this town, I'm sure they weren't, that God was actually, He had His eye on them. He had His eye on them. And He confirmed that to us through prophecies, through dreams, and through visions of others that have never even met them. And God has shown us that God has had His eye on them for this very reason and purpose, to bring them here today, to groom them and grow them in the love of Jesus. And that was like, wow, when we saw that, we were sharing that with them this morning, and they were like, Carson says, wow, God's wacky. I said, yes, amen, He is wacky. And I like God being wacky, because it's like He gets into my business when I don't even know He's in my business, and He's there, and He's working something that I have no even inclination to what He's doing, because I'm just so wrapped up in myself so many times. And He's like, He does not take His eyes off of us. That's good news, isn't it? To some it might be scary, but at the same time, don't be afraid, because God is good. And He is a good, good Father that has our best interest in His heart and His eyes and His purpose and His thoughts of you are good. His thoughts for you are good. Even when, and this is the goodness of God, even when our very own thoughts are not good for ourselves, His thoughts for you are good. Come on. Let's just sit down and bask in that. What is all this anyway? It's good stuff. But just receive that. Know that. Isn't that good news? Right? Carson, you awake over there? You're hiding behind the big guy. That's okay. He's like looking at me. And you know, 1 Corinthians 13:13, that's an easy one, easy number to remember, says these remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. You know what I loved about that song that Krista was leading us in worship was the very truth that what the enemy tries to stick on us has no sticking power in the love of Christ. In the love of God through Jesus, the enemy has no sticking power. There's no way that it can't remain. What the enemy tries to stick on us, plug on us, label us with, there is no sticking power to it. Because Jesus has actually literally broken the chains. He has set us free from the enemy's grip. Hallelujah. That's worth the hallelujah. You know what hallelujah means, by the way? the highest praise to the one that is deserving of it. Amen? Yeah, yeah. I was reading a passage of Scripture, wasn't I? 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 3. I started there, and the Holy Spirit interrupted me. That's okay. Anytime, anytime. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. However you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Whenever I read that, I've read that passage, I've read it, and you know, I've gone over it like so many different times and so many different ways in different translations and everything. I've really looked into it, and I've always seen this passage as saying more than what the face value of it is that it's wording. And I don't know why. It's simply because the very thought is like, is it that cut and dry to just say, by the Holy Spirit, we cannot say Jesus, we can only say Jesus is Lord, and by the Holy, if you're led by the Spirit, you can't say Jesus is accursed. What is that really actually saying more than what it's actually saying? It is saying that, but is it saying more than what it's actually saying there? My brain really gets really wacky sometimes, Carson, I'm telling you. You guys want to chat about it for a minute? Yeah. All right, good. Who said yes? Somebody said yes over there. Good. Okay, good. I think it causes us to really look at the context of the Scripture, the context of the passage, and say, what is the Holy Spirit's primary purpose? What is the Holy Spirit's primary purpose? Always, it's this, and it's always this, and I love this because I get the picture of this is, all of us nowadays, maybe I shouldn't say all of us. Does anybody in here not have a smartphone? Okay, so not all of us. Not all of us have what we call in these smartphones a navigation device, right? A navigation device will when you punch in an address, just in case most of us know what it does, You just simply give it an address and it will navigate you. And when you push go, it will direct you, give you the left, right, stop, and whatever it is you got to do, how much distance you have till you get there, until you get to your destination, right? It's a navigation device. I get this picture that the Holy Spirit is like this, is a navigation device that's always directing us and pointing us to and attempting to move us to Jesus. Hello? And if the navigation device on your device, it's tracking you via satellite, it says turn right and you turn left, what is it going to do? It's going to redirect you, reroute you, either to make around a loop to get you, it doesn't lose its course. Because the destination is still the same. You might take a wrong turn, but what is it going to do? It's going to reroute you. Now that I'm not. With that being said, there isn't this. I'm not advocating a. Let's just go whichever direction we want to go, and eventually we're going to end up there. That's not what I'm advocating. That's not what I believe. That's not what I'm saying there. But what the Holy Spirit is going to do is going to constantly, and if I plug my navigation device, my phone, smartphone, into my truck with a cord that's so because it'll lose power really quickly as I'm navigating, so I have to keep it powered. But what that also does is it comes through my system. And if I have, I can do this, and this is interesting. I could do this. I can turn it down so I don't have to listen to it. They're all fitting. They're all fitting. All these illustrations and analogies are really fitting because I could turn it down where I don't have to listen to it. But when I have the volume up so I can get there, get to my right direction, get to my destination correctly, if I make a wrong turn, guess what it's going to do? It's going to loudly tell me that I need to go another direction. Hello? Hello? And when I'm going the right direction, it's just on point with telling me where I need to go next. There could be some theological discrepancies in that. I understand that. There could be. I'll have a discussion with Blake about it later, and he'll let me know if there are. But I'm seeing it as very clear that the Holy Spirit does this one thing. Primary purpose is to direct us to Jesus, because in Jesus is the answer. In Jesus is where our freedom is. In Jesus is where our deliverance is. In Jesus is where we find our purpose. When I find myself in Jesus, I find myself right with God. And only in Jesus do I find myself right with God. Anybody else find another way to get right with God? Then what you're saying is, if you do find yourself in another way to get right with God without Jesus, that is what I believe he's referring to when he says, only there you can say Jesus is a curse. I don't need Jesus. And you can't by the Holy Spirit say, I don't need Jesus. Because what's the Holy Spirit do? Points us to Jesus. Guys, get it? I get it. It's pretty simple, right? Okay, good. Whew. That was good, huh? I like that. Yeah. I got a question. Have you ever thought of how confusing we Christians are to non-Christians? Just a thought. Just think about it. Let me explain what I'm thinking in that. We say Jesus is the answer, and yet we look to other sources for answers. Confusing, huh? We say Jesus has set us free from our sin, and yet we continue to sin. Even excuse it. We say as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, as followers of Christ, that love is the way. And yet we turn on each other at the drop of a hat. It's pretty confusing when we say something one way and live another way. What did we call that last week? Brain damage. Brain damage. Where we're saying one thing and doing another. That's really brain damage. The Bible refers to it as being delusional, double-minded, when we say one thing and do another. Do you know what, and I just gave you what, do you know what actual integrity means? Do you know what it actually means? Some of you who are metal workers know exactly what integrity means in a way that is, because what it actually means is it's where you line up with. It's where you actually say and do the same thing. What you say is what you do. What you do is what you say. In other words, what it is, what you are is what you're claiming to be, and what you're claiming to be is what you actually are. That's integrity. Right? Hello? Yes? Go. Oh, and he'll test it. Oh, really? Wow. With what? Fire. It's the only way to test metal. You can't test it with, you know, wind or water, or you can't really test it with pleasantries. Huh? A hammer? Yeah. You can test it with a hammer. Yeah. And fire. Let's go forward. You guys good? You guys still with me? All right, praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit. When you also read, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it gives us this, it gives us a really, and I'm not going to get into it because I'd like to get into it another time, another week, is the in-depth understanding of the Holy Spirit's work in the body of Christ, in us as the body members, as one body with many members, led and directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be one body for the glory of the head. The head is Jesus. Body parts are body parts. There's one head. And there's one head, and that head is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is one spirit that's working in the body parts, directing us, empowering us, gifting us, using us as He sees fit. As He directs, as He sees fit. So it's God working in the body for the glory of the head, Jesus. And it's really awesome. Read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just read the whole thing, you know, five or six different times through different translations, and it'll speak to you really clearly. I believe God will give you an understanding in it. And then when you get into, like I said, I don't think this is this, you don't just pull 1 Corinthians 13 out of script, out of context. It's sandwiched in there for a reason. Because it looks like love. It looks like love. He said, the greatest of these is love. These remain faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Here's what love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is, you know, all that stuff, right? Hello? Whew. Love never fails. That's why I was, last week was, I just was, man, I still get, like, that is, I don't know, it's just an awesome passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 13. I know we use it in wedding ceremonies. I use it a lot, a whole lot. In fact, so much so, it's, you know, I've rewritten it, reworded it to where it works in wedding ceremonies because I think it's a depiction and it's a good picture of that commitment to love one another. It looks like this. It's a choice to be patient, to be kind, to be faithful, to be good, to not hold grievances against one another. That's what love looks like. And then we get into 14, chapter 14. I'm gonna just jump through a few verses in there, and this is really talking about the Holy Spirit. And this is an interesting way that Paul gets into this, and I want us to look at this, and I think just be very open to the Holy Spirit's speaking to us through this. If you guys, are you guys open to the Holy Spirit speaking to you through the Word of God today? Good. Good answer. So, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love. He gave us that description of what it looks like. Pursue it and earnestly, I don't know if I said this last week or not, but I need to say it, probably say it over and over again. You cannot love the love of God without God. You can't do it. You ever try to be patient without the love of God? You can't do it. You could try all you want, but it's not real patience. Right? Because the whole time you're like getting upset and angry that you're having to wait and be patient. That's not real patience. And another word for patience is perseverance, where you stick through it. You do not give up. There's no quit. Right? That's another word for patience, is perseverance. Oh, there's another word that we like to use in the Bible that we don't, huh? Oh, well, I don't like that one. Long-suffering. That's one that we like, well, I'll change it really quick and say, I don't like that one. Long-suffering. You can't do it without God. So you can't love the love of God without the love of God. That's not really that complicated, is it? So we need the love of God to love the love of God. Amen? Amen. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. What? Do you guys hear what he just said there? Let's talk about this for a minute. You guys okay talking about it for a minute? Because I think if Paul writes this, led by the Holy Spirit, inspired by God to speak these words, to write them down so that we can have them for eternity as the Word of God, he said this, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Was that just simply for the apostles at the time? so it's only for the original first church, the only for the apostles and the beginning, the 12, 13 with Paul, the apostles. Is that what he's referring to? No, absolutely not. 100% not. No, no, no. We are not cessationists. Do you know what a cessationist is? Huh? Tell us. Thank you. I will tell you, since you asked. That's a good question. What is a cessationist, Eric? Okay. A cessationist is one who believes in their doctrine that the Holy Spirit's work was not necessarily finished, but the working of what God did in working through believers was that for just the apostles. And therefore, all that we have now is the Word of God. That's what we have. The Holy Spirit wrote through the apostles, wrote through the original writers of Scripture, so we have Scripture to live off of and to go by, and therefore, what the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Spirit's work for our day is simply to enlighten and give us insight into what the Word of God says. So God doesn't really move through the Holy Spirit through miracles, through words of prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, to where he doesn't speak into our lives directly like he did at that time at the beginning of the church. What's that? A cessationist. Well, it's off in many different levels, and I don't want to, discredit so many mainline speakers, preachers, and teachers that are cessationists, but there are many out there. Because here's what he's saying in that. So let's talk about it this. And I think that there's a, what is he referring to is when he says, especially that you may prophesy. First of all, it's not an option. It's an instruction. It's not a suggestion. It's imperative. Whenever God gives us a straightforward command, the default response that he expects from us is to trust it and obey it. I like what John Piper says this, and this is interesting as he says this. I wonder how many of us have said for years that we are open to God's moving and spiritual gifts, but yet have been disobedient to this very one direct command to earnestly desire them, especially prophecy. And then he goes on to say, are we trying to be so correct in procedure and yet diminishing the gifts that God has available to us to work through us, that we would, here's what he says, he says this, would we risk walking in disobedience? Oh, did you put that up there? Now, I got to read it correctly, because I'm like, he uses big words like hermeneutical. But let's move on, because I think what we need to look at this very last statement is that we would risk walking in disobedience to a plain command in Scripture. In other words, do we explain away being disobedient to what he says? Earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. What does prophecy look like then? Let's talk about it. What does it look like? What's he referring to there? What is this prophecy that he's referring to? It's interesting enough, and I wanted to point this out, so I'm going to give some examples, and I think that what we need to understand is what it actually looks like. This is where it gets a little bit fun. I'm going to talk about this because it gets fun. One of my favorite preachers he's not around anymore, is Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a professing cessationist. Now, here's what's interesting. As a professing cessationist, what he also believed in, he believed in the prompting of the Holy Spirit to speak what God was leading him to speak into people's lives personally. What it was said of him more than anything was, there is a man that preaches the word of God, and he speaks into my very heart and soul what only God knows. There is many incidences. One time he was actually in the middle of his sermon preaching, and he wrote out his sermon word for word, which was amazing. And we have him on record, and we could read him, and we could study him, and it's fun. I like to read Charles Spurgeon. But many times in the middle of his preaching, he would look out, and God would prompt him by the Holy Spirit, and he'd look at a man, and one time he looked at a man, and he said, "Those gloves that you're wearing, you stole them from your boss. Return them." That's what he said to the guy. Okay, and the guy, the young man came up to Charles Spurgeon afterwards, this is a true story, and said, "Please, preacher, please, I've never met you, but please, please, please do not tell my mom. Don't tell my mom. She would just die if she found out that I was a thief. I am so sorry. I repent. I'm going to return them first thing Monday morning." What did that do? What did that do in that young man's life? What did it do, though? No, what did that actually do? It compelled him to do what? Repent. Repent. The Holy Spirit prompting compelled him to repent. That's awesome. That's really awesome. And what did it do? It caused him to turn to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is in line with what God the Holy Spirit is doing. Point you to Jesus, the answer for your sin, and get right with God the Father through Jesus. Repent. Has the Holy Spirit ever done that to you? Hello? I think this morning, 5 or 6 times for me, right? Unless you turn the volume down, then you don't have to listen to them, right? So let's look at what this looks like. I'm going to just jaunt through a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians 14. You guys doing okay? Everybody doing all right? Trevor, you're awake. Good man. Good man. Oh, I'll be, if the Holy Spirit leads and prompts. But here's the purpose of this. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says this: "The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church." 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, "So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in" what? Building up the church. Building up the church. Do you hear that? That's the goal, the purpose. As God brings to light something in your life to bring repentance, to bring you to repentance, it's for a purpose that is more than just about you. Hello? God does work. He is so interested in who you are, your character. He does not relent. And as Alfonso said, it sometimes seems like it's an attack. Like he is on the move and he doesn't relent. But it's not just about you. It's not just about you. It's for the edification, the building up of the body of Christ. And that's why I think this whole context of 12, 13, and 14 is for that very reason. For the purpose and edification of the church. It's interesting, I want us to point this out as we talk about this, is there's this warning it's really a directive, so it's a command and order for us to pursue with eagerness the gifts of the Spirit and to eagerly desire and to look into prophecy, to go that direction without reservation. Why are we so reserved in dealing with prophecy? I'm just curious. I'm asking a question. We're so cautious. We cautiously walk through, tread lightly when it talks about prophecy. Like we don't want to say the wrong thing. You know, we're really careful about making sure that if somebody speaks a word of God, that it's got to be the word of God. Right? I mean, he tells us to test the prophets, to test, to see if it is. He tells us to do that. But he doesn't ever tell us to hold back and be cautious about it. In other words, if when you feel and when you sense and when you hear the Holy Spirit compelling you to speak the word of God, don't hold back. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If it's in the right, if it's the Holy Spirit led, it's going to be right. And it's going to be leading people to Jesus. Hello? even as I'm saying this, there's something in my, I think it's in my flesh that says, be careful, be careful, be careful. And the Holy Spirit's saying, don't hold back, don't hold back. Don't hold back. Obey, trust, and obey me. And my flesh wants to say, be careful, be careful. What's going on there? What's going on there? Brain damage, I think. It's like sometimes it's really, I think sometimes it's like, there's twistedness going on in my brain. Do you realize that it's an area that God says, go for it all out? Trust me in. And yet there's this other area that he does tell us to walk cautiously in. Listen to this. James chapter 3 verse 1 says this, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And yet we throw people teaching whatever in any realm and say, oh, you could teach, you could do this, you could, and it's like, wait a second. The scripture tells us, the Bible tells us, don't be so eager to become a teacher. Why? Because we have a stricter judgment. You know, if I stand up here explaining the word of God, trying to teach the word of God to you, and I teach it wrong, my judgment is harsh. God is, look, that's why I got to be honest with you guys. I'm telling you, God told me I was going to do this when I was like 17 years old. First got saved. Sitting in a Bible study where somebody was teaching, I think Linda was teaching, and God told me, you're going to do that. And I got into a really, really, I got into an argument with God. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not good at it. I don't think you got the wrong guy. No. I said, no. And God continued. He didn't relent. The Holy Spirit said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. It's interesting that we, I think, get it a little backwards. We'll throw anybody in as a teacher. And he's saying, be careful about that. Hello? The Bible says that. And yet, in the backwards part is, I think we get where when it comes to prophecy, we like, ooh, we got to be careful. And he says, no, just let it go. Let me speak through you and let me speak to you. And I want to use each and every one of you. I want to see every one of us desiring to prophesy. Isn't that interesting? He tells us to do that right there. That's awesome. That's awesome. I think if a donkey or a dog walked in here, he'd have to use that because we're so cautious about letting God speak to us and through us. Hello? All right, let's move on because I like how this finishes up this morning. I really do. Chapter 14, verse 24 and 25. He says this, but if all prophesy, listen to this, and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he He is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. You guys hear what that's saying there? If we are obedient and trusting in the leading of the Holy Spirit, don't be afraid. I really sense and I feel like there's, you know, our fear and our hesitation to trust the Holy Spirit is simply in that realm of, I don't want people to see me as I am. Yeah, I don't want people to see what's really going on. And that's why it's, I really feel this and I sense this really strongly right now. Is when we have a nicely packaged message put together by a preacher or a teacher that's really good, we'll grow in the Lord for it. But when we leave the Holy Spirit's, when we leave room for the Holy Spirit to speak into people's lives, when we leave that out, I think we make it nice and tight and packaged and clean and tidy and comfortable. And we leave God the Holy Spirit out and people come into our midst, people come into our presence, people come into our meetings, and they don't find God because we've made it comfortable for them to just sit in their sin. For made it comfortable for me to sit in my sin and tune out the Holy Spirit. Are you guys tracking with me? This gets real. It gets really real. But I want to tell you, and I need to tell you, and you need to hear this very clearly, is God the Holy Spirit is love. He doesn't, it's not just to make you look bad. But listen, if your sin is being concealed and being hidden and covered up and not dealt with, you're going around the cross. And if there's only one way to deal with my sin and it's through Jesus, I got to go through Jesus to get there, to deal with it, to be set free from it. And if I try to do it any other way by just whether it's rejecting it or whether it's not listening to it or whether it's excusing it, then I'm missing it 100%. I'm missing God 100%. Because I'm trying to do it on my own. God really convicted me this week and he said, you know what? You know why we continue to sin? There's two reasons, two main reasons. There's lots of reasons, but one of the primary reasons is one is I don't call my sin my sin. I don't call it sin, I call it something else. So I label it something else entirely. And the other reason is this was the most convicting part. Listen to this. Is I try to quit sinning. No, did you hear that? Why do I keep sinning is because I try to quit sinning. Hello? That doesn't make any sense. I'm like, that doesn't make any, that's what I said. That doesn't make any sense. He's like, yeah, I know. It doesn't make sense to you, but it's how it is actually working. Okay. It was... And the reason I'm going to share it again, I'm going to say it again, because I think there's a difficulty in receiving that. And let me just, I'm going to just put a blanket statement out there to all of us. That's difficult to receive for all of us. Because we all have a slight tendency to try to do it on our own. Yeah. Oh, you do too? Yeah. You didn't have to give it a hearty amen, brother, but that's okay. Okay. So when I say, when God the Holy, actually the Holy Spirit said it to me. I didn't come up with that. I honestly had, in fact, I really what? That was weird, but he said it. That the reason we keep sinning and get stuck in our sin is because we try to quit sinning. See, to a legalist, to a religious person, that almost angers you. That frustrates you, and it almost takes you to the point of saying, Eric, I think you're wrong. You could say, but because then you're saying, well, what? Then we just go on, keep sinning? No, see, even that. No, that doesn't work either. That doesn't work either. Well, and that was good. The only answer is Jesus. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry, but I'm being honest and truthful. And speaking of the Holy Spirit, if my sin doesn't go to Jesus and through Jesus and get nailed at the cross, I'm going to keep doing it, even as hard as I keep, as hard as I try to quit doing it. And I could try to like turn and go the other way. They say, well, just don't look at it. Don't look at it. No, that doesn't work. Because in my heart, it's still there if it hasn't been nailed to the cross. Hello? That's the grace of Jesus. That's the grace of God. That really is the grace of God. Because it's nothing of my own. Nothing of my own doing. Nothing of my... Now, that's risky to say as a preacher. Just quit trying to try. Just look to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is really, that's all he's out to do, is he's pointing us to Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit needs to, because we've tuned him out, and if he needs to speak through one of us, tune him back in. Tune him back in and call the sin in my life, the sin in my life, to bring us to the repentance, then let's let God the Holy Spirit do that. That's what prophecy looks like. That's what he says, earnestly desire and seek after that all may prophesy. Listening to the Lord speaking to us and through us. Isn't that really what it is? Is letting God speak to us and through us. Hello? I really believe that. So then the question is this. Do people come in and say, wow, God is among them? We got to be more than just a bunch of nice people. I said more than. I think we need to be nice people. 100%. If you're not a nice person, repent. Be nice. Okay? But nice people, and this is convicting to me, because I like to be a nice person. And there's people that like me because I'm simply a nice person. And that's okay. And that's good. But what I really want is people to say, God is with you. God is in you. There's something there that I need and want because I see something different. I know a whole lot of nice people that don't have God. I don't want people to be drawn to us just because we're nice. Again, be nice. I don't know how to say that over and over again. Be nice. Yes. But let God speak through you. Let God speak to you. Is God among us? And I'd say yes. 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 As the Holy Spirit not just speaks these words through my mouth, be obedient. Trust, you know, and as I was looking at this, I was looking at this in my own life, and absolutely, absolutely, 100% obedience, trusting the Lord, trusting the Holy Spirit's leading and direction, and being obedient when He speaks into our hearts, to others, and to ourselves. But I also was looking at this. I want us to see something really fast because I think it's imperative for us to see it. Is there's a real reality to tuning in to the Holy Spirit. You guys tracking with me on this for just a second? And some of us might not even have a clue as to what that consists of, what that looks like, how that it comes about. I want to ask you to ask God the Holy Spirit to show you how to listen to Him. Listen, listen. Ask God the Holy Spirit how to listen to Him, how to hear Him, how to tune into Him. And I'm going to tell you some of the things that it's going to involve. I believe it's going to involve this. It's going to involve an absolute passion and love for the Word of God. God the Holy Spirit always, always drives us to the Word of God. Hello? Always drives us to the Word of God to where we just can't get enough. I want more of God's Word because God's Word is life and God's Word gives me more than just instruction. It gives me insight. It gives me answers, and God's Word is life to my very soul and will always drive you to others. Yes. Oh, okay. That's okay.
That can be demonstrated in other than words.
Oh, absolutely.
I think maybe some are thinking that you want to jump up and prophesy, but the response last week to the needs of John Abbott and the fact that people step forward and satisfy that need.
Amen.
An example of that God they love.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. John?
If you ever want to test, like, your patience and being a good person,
no.
Get on Highway 65 in the afternoon. That's a good test. But, I mean, that really makes you answer your question.
Yeah. John, you know I've always said it, and I said it, and people get kind of tired of me saying it. I believe that driving is the best place to practice your Christian character. Yeah. Because you're by yourself and it's only God. Usually it's by yourself and God is the one that is with you, and it's the best place to practice Christianity, driving. But back to what Glenn said is 100% true. I need us to, and I'll just spend a minute on that because I think it's really important for us to understand, is as the Holy Spirit, He says, we'll come together, we'll have a word, we'll have a song, a hymn, a spiritual song, something inside of us that really does what? It edifies the body. When we're obedient to trusting God to say, God, give to that person because they're in need, that edification of the body is a real thing. And it's not just a works thing, it's work, God working in us and through us, speaking words. Some of us are compelled to speak words of knowledge and wisdom into people's lives. Some of us are compelled to give towards people's lives. Some of us are compelled to, by the Holy Spirit, to be hospitable. Hello, it's the Holy Spirit's gifting. And let me just say something about the Holy Spirit's gifting. It's God, the Holy Spirit, that is the gifter. Hello? God is the giver and the gifter. So there's nowhere that it says in Bible that it's my gift. It's not mine. It's His gifting. Whenever I start declaring my gifting, I better like step aside because I don't know what can happen there. Because that's really, I'm starting to like take a front seat to something that God is doing. And that I believe is a miss, because we miss God the Holy Spirit pointing us to Jesus, to the loving Heavenly Father. Don't make it about you and your gifting. If I do, somebody throw something really hard at me to make an impact. I give you permission, except you. You're too close, and I know you can throw really well. Do you guys, do we hear that? Because it's when it comes about edification of the body, the purpose is for the building up of the body. Let's not miss that or lose that. I know we're a small fellowship, but I'm going to tell you guys something. God has called us to be actual, literal salt and light in a dark and decaying world. Not just here. Every one of us have an impact where you go in your world. A direct impact to be salt and light where you're at. Your family, your workplace, your neighborhood. Look for opportunities to glorify God. And look for places He tells us to do it. Pursue love and earnestly, eagerly desire to look and speak the words of God. Do the words of God. Prophesy. Earnestly desire it. Don't be afraid of it. God is for you. God is for people. I still love the fact that He says, whosoever. Whosoever. I think that's one of the best words in the Bible. Whosoever. There's a lot of really good words, but I like that word, I think, more than any other word. Whosoever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray, and then we'll worship the Lord some more. Ha ha! Woo! Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Really don't want to say any other thing, but just thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And again, thank you. Amen. Amen.